This is my last recording from the hospital. I've done really well despite all the pain. I think I mentioned this. They tried to do a nerve block, which sort of deadens the nerves in the leg that you have amputated, so that it isn't as painful and you don't have as much trouble with phantom limb pain and post-op pain in general, which did not work for me just because of the nerve abnormalities I already have. But, you know, we worked through it. Pain is still going to be a problem for me. I'm being sent home with Percocet, Norco, Valium, just sort of like a myriad of things to kind of help control things. But I've done really great at PT. You know, I move around on that walker pretty well. I can get myself to the bathroom and all kinds of stuff. So I am really excited that I get to go home, and I get to go home so early. It's crazy to me. But my doctors are just like I think it's because I'm excited that they're super excited. Because, I mean, I'm pretty pumped up.
That's Ashley Scannell, and I'm Trevor Holtner, and this is Footloose and Fancy Free, a comedy podcast about serious shit.
I can't wait. I can't wait to start PT and get better at moving around. I think I'm going to have to get, because, you know, I walk with a walker, I think I'm going to have to get like those padded workout gloves for people who lift weights, because it hurts your hands, because basically what you're doing is you're moving forward on this walker, and then you do a little bunny hop with your leg, and it puts a lot of pressure on the palms of your hands. So I'm not a big fan of that. I'm gonna have to get some workout gloves, and I'm gonna have to invest in a lot more shorts, because when they wrapped my leg, I kind of make fun of it and call it like a sexy wrap, because it comes all the way up. It comes up as high as like a thigh high stocking would come up. Smile's like, oh, why'd they wrap it so sexy? But, you know, I had built it up in my head, and I really thought that this was going to be such a difficult part of this, you know, having the surgery, dealing with the pain, trying to move around until I got a prosthetic. And you know what? I think that it can be as easy as I want it to be. You know, you just got to find a way and work around it. And I think that I can. So it's good to be leaving. We haven't had any complications so far, other than those related to the nerve block. I don't think I've mentioned this, so I've been on IV antibiotics, right? Because that's pretty common when you get osteomyelitis. What they're going to do is go in and remove the infected part of the bone. So, you know, the infected bones, the infected tissue, because I did have a soft tissue infection around the bone, have been removed with the amputation, and then now they're going to go ahead and give you antibiotics. So I've been on IV antibiotics, and then I'm going to leave, and I'll finish a course of oral antibiotics at home as well. That's our next big hurdle, is making sure that we get through the next couple weeks without any signs of infection, because I have such a horrific history of infection. But I'm really hopeful. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Hi, everybody. It's Ashley. The date today is June 14th. So it's a Thursday. Yesterday we had our first, you know, I think for me, a really big milestone. And that was me getting to go home. So I was in the hospital for 2 days, and I felt like I was doing well enough that I could go ahead and go, which was great. And then part of the reason for getting me out of the hospital kind of as soon as possible is because I'm a high infection risk. Unfortunately, I have a long history with pretty terrible post-op infections, running the gamut from bacterial meningitis to I've had C. diff. I've had just kind of run-of-the-mill surgical site infections. So it's always a good idea to get someone with a weaker immune system out of the hospital as soon as possible, because all the big scary germs live in hospitals. So last night was my first night at home. In terms of getting around, so right now I'm using a walker, which keeps me pretty sturdy. You know, I sort of just put my hands on the walker and then I lift myself up with my arms and kind of hop along. But I also have crutches, unfortunately, and it wasn't even something that I thought about. The walker can't fit through the door frame of my bathroom, so I can't get in and out of my bathroom very well with it, and I have to use the crutches. So that part has been kind of difficult. My biggest problem right now has just been pain management. Up until I left the hospital, so when I left the hospital, they gave me, you know, another shot of Demerol just to help me get home to the car. And I was really hoping that I wouldn't be in as much pain as I'm in now. But it'll get better and better every day. Right now, they're managing my pain. We're doing Percocet and Valium. I'm really appreciative for the Valium because it does help with the muscle cramps. So because they've kind of cut through your muscle and your bone, you have issues with your muscles sort of spasming, and that can be really, really painful. So the Valium does help with that. I take that 3 times a day, and then I take the Percocet every 4 to 6 hours. Now, once we're sort of through the difficult part of healing of the pain management, then we'll step down to Loratab, to Norco. And I'm looking forward to that. It has been really hard pain-wise. I don't want to sugarcoat that. It has been pretty atrocious. Having to get up to go to the bathroom I dread it every time, because it's so hard to get up and then get myself to the bathroom. But I'm doing okay. And this is the kind of thing that sort of, you know, it does start to rapidly get better. Every day is a little better than the last, and it is nice to be able to see that progress. You know, because before I had surgery, I was just in pain all the time, and that pain just got worse and worse and worse. So at least now I'm in a situation where I know that I'm healing and I'm doing better. One of the things that I thought I wanted to bring up was the photo shoot we did in the hospital. I love the photos that came out, and it was really nice. It sort of just restored some confidence. It was really nice to look at photos of myself in a hospital gown with my leg bandaged up to the top of my thigh and actually feel pretty and confident, which is something I never thought would happen. You know, I think I did have some fear that this would affect the way I viewed myself. And I was afraid of this kind of compounding my body dysmorphia, because I do have a sense of that. I think everyone does when you're disabled, particularly because one of the symptoms of my disease has been S1 nerve root degeneration. So I've been watching my muscles sort of atrophy. My body doesn't look the same as it used to. And there are, and most definitely have been times where I look in the mirror and I don't feel like I look like me. And so doing that photo shoot, even though the only intention there was to just show people, you know, the nitty gritty details of it, for people to actually see me go through it and not just hear a rehearsed version of it via my tapes. I'm actually amazed and so happy that it had this added benefit of almost kind of making me feel like a person again. Because I think one of the first things that you lose when you start to go through something like this is a sense of sexuality, is a sense of feeling beautiful. And in a way, that photo shoot really kind of helped me reclaim that. So I appreciate it all the more. And we plan to do another photo shoot. So we'll do a photo shoot at the prosthetics facility I go to, for sure on the day I get my first prosthetic, and you guys will get to see photos of me walking with a prosthetic for the first time, which is super, super exciting. You know, I really hope that everyone enjoys this project, but I have to say, above all, the thing that makes me the most happy about it is just how therapeutic it's been. And one of the things that's really, really brought me some joy through all of this is the effect that it had on my doctors and my nurses to see an amputee who, you know, still felt confident and was happy. I think they are in contact with amputees that just feel like this is the end of their life as they know it. And it really made me more aware of emotionally the effect of what this kind of thing can have on some people. And of course I have some of that, right? Like, of course I feel bad feelings too. But I kind of realize how important the representation, or just how important it is to have some representation for the amputee community of people that are just like, yeah, we can do whatever we want to do. And, you know, this wasn't the end of our lives. And for me in particular, I feel like it was the beginning of a much bigger and better chapter, just because I've been struggling with pain for so long. And as we've mentioned before, I had some pretty serious bone deformity in the foot that we had amputated, up through the ankle. So, you know, for me, yeah, the recovery process is still super painful, but I feel like, you know, in 6 months, I will be the happiest I've ever been, and it will just be phenomenal. But just to kind of backtrack, and keep this sort of day by day, let's get back to what my biggest problems right now are. So one, mobility is difficult. I will say that I am so much more mobile than I thought that I would be. You know, I can get around pretty well with a walker. And if you are someone like me who already has existing disabilities and now you're going through an amputation, you know, don't worry. You have other options besides crutches. And there's intermediate things between, you know, crutches and wheelchairs. And for me, that's been my walker, and I'm really pleased with it. I'm pleased at how well I can get around. I cannot wait until I've got another week or two under my belt and the pain isn't so bad. Because that's the thing, I am not going to lie to you, it is very painful. I have a series of alarms set up on my phone so that I never miss doses of pain medication and, of course, antibiotics. It's really common practice when you get osteomyelitis, which, you know, is a pretty serious infection in your bone marrow. After your amputation, they're going to do some IV antibiotics, which they've done. And then now I am on oral antibiotics, and this is just to help prevent any infection sort of coming back. In some research, they even sort of talk about osteomyelitis as a thing that never really goes away, just because of its high reoccurrence rate. I've even seen it referred to as something that goes into like remission, because once you get it, you are more likely to get it again. But we'll just have to wait and see. I am at very high risk for a bilateral amputation. So there is some likelihood that later on I'll have to go back in and I'll have to lose my other leg. And that's because I have quite a bit of bone deformity on that left side. I also have some hardware in there. So it is quite the strain on that foot for it to be my only foot. You know, the only way I can bear weight right now. But we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. You know, in general, I feel very hopeful and I feel really good about this. You know, there are still a lot of really scary elements to it as well. But if you're someone who is potentially facing having an amputation, if you will take one piece of advice from me, please let it be that you don't have to be scared. I have had an amazing support system, people that I've never even met in real life. So just people that I'm friends with on Facebook, even random acquaintances, have gone out of their way to make me feel supported, and have been doing their best to get me anything and everything that I could possibly need right now. And I just appreciate it so much. I've always been someone that sort of isolates when bad things happen, and I avoid people. And you know, this time around, people have not been letting me do that. I think that I totally would on some days if I could, but, you know, people are just unrelentingly here for me, here to do whatever it is that I need. And it's great. I can say 100% that so far recovery has not gone the way that I thought it would. So I really thought that I would immediately sort of fall into my mourning period. But I haven't done that yet. Now, rest assured, if I'm going to be emotionally healthy, you know, if I'm going to do this the healthy way, I will have a period of mourning and a period of grief, because whether or not this is a great opportunity that opens doors for me, it's still a loss. I've still lost something. But, you know, I think so far this journey has proved to me that ordinary people end up in extraordinary situations all the time and they don't fail. And honestly, I really want to hear from you guys. I want to hear about your difficult situations. I want us to have an open conversation. I really want this podcast to not be so much about me just talking about what I'm going through, although that is a large part of it. I really want this to be a conversation that we have about grief and about loss and about disability, about depression and anxiety, the way that we deal with those things, and what we can do to make people in these kinds of situations more comfortable, healthier, happier, and safer. I need to take a break for a minute. Like I said, it has been pretty difficult pain-wise. It's gonna get better, and it does get better each and every day. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm doing this show, so I have these recordings, so I have the opportunity to look back and see that little bit of progress that I make every day. But I mean, it's rough. They've cut through all your muscles, they've snipped your nerves, they've cut through your bones. And I've had spinal cord untetherings that I most certainly would classify as less painful than this. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. It does hurt. But I'm still happy that I've done this. Another thing I thought let's check back in about is my phantom limb sensation and phantom limb pain. It really hasn't been too bad, but it's still very strange. There are times where I can swear to you that I feel my ankle itch, or it feels like I'm wiggling my toes. I had a weird time period where my brain sort of accepted that the limb was shorter, but it really wasn't ready to give up on the foot yet. So for some reason, I just felt my foot, but just at the end of my residual limb. So my residual limb ends, just several inches below my knee. And I could have sworn that I just felt my foot right there. And it's strange. I mean, you do feel a little helpless. You do feel like you're not really in control of your body the way you want to be. And it is rough. It's a rough thing to go through for anyone. But I think the whole point of what I'm trying to say is that it is worth it to go through. And for me, this was something life-saving. Even if we rule out the osteomyelitis, this is something that will eventually give me the opportunity to navigate the world in less pain, while I'm able to do more. And I'm happy for that. And I mean, that happiness doesn't erase the grief or the difficulty of the loss. I do want to be completely honest. But right now, so far in my journey, I can say that I feel pain and not suffering at the moment. So physically, I hurt, but mentally, I'm no longer suffering. Waiting for this, and just having to spend every day trying to move through my life with this terrible chronic infection in my foot, and trying to make it work and hold myself together, that was suffering. And this feels like nothing compared to that. You know, the misery that it is to try and live a life with this terrible infection, you know, fatigued all the time, just completely miserable. This just has nothing on that in terms of misery. Okay, I'm gonna take a break for now. As I said, I need to kind of lay down and hopefully my leg will stop throbbing. Because like I said, it's a real bitch. It's a pretty painful thing, but I'm still so glad that I did it. I am continually blown away by how meaningful my doctors and my nurses and the medical care professionals that I've surrounded myself with have. This has sort of renewed their hope. You know, they say that dentists have the highest suicide rate of anyone in the medical profession. And you forget how much it can wear on a person to just see misery and pain and loss every day. And watching them light up and smile and be so happy. To see someone, you know, feel that this surgery is a way of moving forward and getting better and healing themselves, I think was really great. And it's one of the reasons that it's really important to me that we interview some medical professionals and we hear their side of the story, and we really get to look at this and dissect it from all sides. So I'm even more excited about this journey now than I was before. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep chugging. And I hope that you will too. Bye.
This has been Footloose and Fancy Free, a production of Terminus Media. Footloose and Fancy Free is hosted by Ashley Scannell and produced by Ashley Scannell, Trevor Holtner, and Jeremy Wright. Theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Please consider supporting Footloose and Fancy Free by going to anchor.fm/footloose-fancy-free or by subscribing to Footloose and Fancy Free on any of your favorite podcast apps. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Castbox, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Spotify. If you feel like supporting the show, you are absolutely free to do so. There is a button in the description of this episode that will take you to a page run by Anchor, which will allow you to donate $1, $5, or $10. Again, thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world, and we will see you in the next episode.